Yo, what's up, people? How are you doing? Welcome to another episode of Anxiety Now with only Jordan Rabold. There is nobody else on this. I just want to stress that nobody else is on this thing. It's going to be only me. I'm not sure if you heard last week, but I'm doing it alone. Mike Coscarelli is dead to me completely, and he should be dead to you. He's dead to you. Here's what I want you to do right now is I want you to go unfollow Mike on all forms of social media. All of them. Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, block him. Not worth it. Not worth your time. He's done. He's dead to us. Draw a line in the sand. Come to my side. That's how this is working, okay? He's dead to you. You're part of my podcast. I really like the idea of just like keeping this war going. There's no war. We're totally fine. And we talked about it, but I just like the idea of a war. And I like being in a fight with a friend for fun. I made him think for 3 days when he said he didn't want to do the podcast anymore that I hated him just to fuck with his head. Cause he's such a soft, sensitive little boy. Such a soft, sensitive little boy. But thank you for tuning in. I really appreciate it. You know what you could actually do? You know, I would really think it's funny if you unfollowed Mike. That would make me laugh immensely. And then send me screenshots of you unfollowing him on forms of social media. That would be so fucking hilarious. Message him first and say, I'm unfollowing you because Jordan's way better. Let him know. Let him know that you're unfollowing him and stuff. And then actually do it. I want to see. I would love screenshots of it. Also, I want to give a shout-out to whoever Happy Thizen is. Thank you so much for tweeting at me that the latest episode is great. Hashtag Lone Wolf. I'm not sure if I said Lone Wolf on the podcast, but that's how I view myself. I view myself as a lone wolf. And you know what happens to lone wolves in the wild? They die. Because wolves need a pack. They need a pack, and that's where you come in. Oh, my God. Jesus Christ. Yeah, thanks for tuning in. I don't know. I guess it's always weird starting this thing, especially when you don't have someone else to do it with and you're just, you know, alone in your bedroom. And yeah, I this past weekend I went to I did some shows in Baltimore and Philadelphia, which, you know, super fun, but that what a boring story that would be if I just told you how the shows went. Who cares about that? What was funny though is that we went to a we stopped at like a Waffle House on driving from Baltimore to Philadelphia, which Waffle House, if I see a Waffle House sign, I have to stop there. Like, and you probably know by now that if you've listened to this podcast that I am an annoying person who watches what they eat, but something about Waffle House I just can't resist. I have to go to Waffle House. If I see it, I have to get a waffle, and I have to get one of their, oh God, what is it? Their patty melt. I have to get like one of their their Debel patty melt. That shit is fire. I recommend, that's the order you get. That, hash browns on the side. I don't put anything on the hash browns. But yes, yeah, so we stop at a Waffle House at like, it's like 1 a.m. driving from DC to Philly. And we walk in and there's this like dude in the, this guy in the corner. And I guess he said something to me, but I didn't hear him. And then he said something else to me, but I was like, I was fooling around on my phone and I didn't hear him. And then I sat down and then he just goes, yo, can I eat with you? And I'm like, all right. Yeah, sure, dude. You can come eat with me. This dude was, this Waffle House is not in a nice part of town, let's say. I mean, pretty much anything from Baltimore to Philadelphia, it would appear, is not a nice part of town. Especially, if you've been to Baltimore, I'm sure there are nice parts of Baltimore, but I didn't see any of them. Baltimore is in tatters. What happened to that city? It's one of those things where you like watch The Wire and you're like, there's no way it's actually like that. No, it's really like that. It's really that terrible. There was just like burnt out houses, abandoned buildings, falling apart, roofs falling down. It was crazy. You were like, where am I right now? Is this an American city? This is crazy. That city is doing so poorly. And it was so funny because like, I think the place that we were performing at is on like the corner of of we're at the very corner of nice Baltimore, and then bad Baltimore surrounds it. And it was so funny. They had a park bench that had like Baltimore, greatest city in America. You're like, I guess you can just put whatever you want on a bench, even if it's not true. You can just put whatever slogan you want for your crappy falling apart city. I always think it's so funny when people live in like horrible cities. It's like just start walking. There's nothing here for you. Just start moving. Go to another place. Just go to another place. Like I'll form in like Binghamton, and I'll be like, "Do you guys like it here?" And they're all like, "No, it sucks." It's like, then why do you live here? You're gonna be dead. Go live somewhere where you want to live, unless you need there's some extraneous reason that you can't live there. You know what I mean? So anyway, this guy walks over. Said, tells me his name is Gilly Bean. I assume that's not his real name. What kind of parent would name their kid something like that, like Gilly Bean? And I'm like, "Hey, what's up, man? I'm Jordan. Good to meet you." And he's like, "Yo, people are weird." And I'm like, "What do you mean by that?" It's literally the second thing he says to me after he sits with us is, "Yo, people are weird." It's just so... All right, yeah. It sounds like he's like a setup to some stand-up act. And then I realize how high this dude is, and I go, "What makes people weird?" And he's like, "I don't know." Like, you're just going to have a thesis statement, have someone ask one question, and then back out of the thesis immediately? Have a second thing in mind. At least be like, "Oh, people are weird. Sometimes they do this." And he goes, "I don't know." Then he eventually goes, "Yeah, like you ignored me when you walked in." I was like, "I didn't ignore you." He goes, "Yeah, you did." I'm like, "No, I didn't. I don't know you. I didn't hear you. I was just on my phone because I was driving and got a bunch of text messages because I don't text and drive because I am a saint. I'm a good person like that. I will not text and drive. I will not endanger other people's lives for me to just send some pointless text like, ha, 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 ha. I won't do it." Then we find out, so Gilly Bean is like super high, and he like halfway through sentences would just be like, "Oh man, my head hurts so much, dude. I'm so high. I'm just getting a headache. I smoked way too much weed." And we're like, "How much did you smoke?" He's like, "I don't know, man. I've just been smoking since I got out of jail." That's one of those like facts that if someone like drops on you, you want to ask a follow-up, but you don't feel like you can ask a follow-up. When someone just goes, "Yeah, I just got out of jail," you want to be like, "Well, what were you in jail for? Because I would like to know, should I keep eating at this Waffle House or should I get in my car and leave?" But we can't ask it. Also, he is being incredibly friendly. This dude is like super friendly. He's laughing. I mean, he's high. You can't kill people if you're high and fight them. Nobody gets in fights high. Plus, nobody can get in a fight high because you're just going to like take a nap after you throw two punches and forget what you were bickering about. So, Gilly Bean is super high, tells us he got out of jail. We want to ask a further reason. Also, just by the way, I'm there with Christian Duran, who is one of my best friends. I think we had him on the podcast back when I would do guests and thought that that was a fun idea. And then I realized that, you know, I don't need anybody, you know, just be out here alone in the wild. I kill a moose, I get more meat then, you know what I mean? I'm here with Christian Duran, who's a pretty quiet person and is, I would describe, as shy. He is shy in most public, in many public settings. Unless he's comfortable with who he's with, then you see how vicious he actually is. But otherwise, he appears nice and shy. Yo, dude's doing no legwork on this conversation. And then I'm there also with Jamie Clausen-Wolf, who is a 21-year-old comedian. He was hosting for us. Really young. He's like a senior at NYU. He is like too nervous to even talk to Gilly Bean. He's not contributing anything. So it's just me and Gilly Bean talking the whole time. Or I'm the one, I'm actually doing all of the legwork and Gilly Bean's like kind of answering questions. But it's like weird if you don't know someone and they sit down next to you and you don't really speak to them. That's not really an option for any of us. So he tells us he got out of jail. We want to know what for. No idea. Nobody else, we can't really follow up on it, but we're really curious what's the reason. He then, after that, glossing over the jail thing, we place an order for what we get. He orders two waffles and then reveals to us that he has no money. So now we're all kind of like, "Oh man, are we going to have to buy this dude waffles?" And then to Gilly's credit, at no point did he go, "Will you guys pay for my waffles?" I guess it turns out he got the waffles for free. That's what he told us. He said the server was like, "Yo, man, I'm just going to give you some free waffles," which is, what a nice server and what a good dude to do that for our boy Gilly Bean. Then Gilly Bean, it was a little weird before that, but this is when it got real weird. This guy goes, "Yo, you want to hear me freestyle rap?" "Not really. No, I'm good. I don't want to hear you freestyle rap. I don't want to hear anyone freestyle rap. If I wanted to hear someone freestyle rap, I would go to a rap battle or a concert. But at Waffle House at 1 a.m., I just want to eat my waffles and talk a little bit. That's all I want. I don't want someone forcing their art upon me." What a horrible experience for anyone. Anytime anyone forces their thing on you, you're like, "This fucking sucks." It's not even just, I don't even mean only rap. This includes all forms of, if someone shows you a painting and you don't want to look at paintings, ugh, horrible. So he starts freestyle rapping. I don't even know if he's good or bad. I don't know. It doesn't seem like he's super confident in his freestyle rap because he closed his eyes. He wasn't looking at us, super high still, and just like also mumbles a bit. So he starts going. We listen to him for two or three minutes of freestyle rapping. I think that's pretty generous. Where I'm from, if somebody like shows you, it felt like when someone shows you, is like, "Hey, can I show you a YouTube clip?" And they start showing it, and then you get like 3 minutes into it and you're like, "All right, I'm not really enjoying this. How much longer is this video?" But you can't say it. You just have to like stand over their shoulder or sit in the chair and just wait until this thing finishes. We get 2 or 3 minutes in. He's showing no signs of stopping. He's just powering through, just freestyle rapping, just going on and on and on. And I do this tactic where there was a moment where it seemed like he kind of like took a little pause, you know, took a little, like he was like finishing, and I took that opportunity to just give him an applause break right away. As soon as I sensed that it was like a moment where there was a small break, I just started. Bravo, that was great. Yeah, we loved it. Gilly Bean, you the man. Started applauding for him. This only gives him more confidence. He takes that not as, "Wow, what a great performance. End of performance. Show over. Lights, curtains, let's get out of here." No, he powers through my clapping and then raps for another 4 minutes. And all we can do is kind of sort of make weird eye contact. Duran and Jamie and I just make weird eye contact with each other. Also, we can't really go full pick on guy mode because he did just get out of jail that night and we don't know what for, so we can't kind of start making fun at all. We have to take his rap directly to the face. Now, I don't know if anyone here has ever had someone rap in their face, but not a good experience. Not something I'd recommend. I wouldn't recommend that. Not at all. Someone rapping at, dude, I don't know, even if Eminem sat with us, I don't know if I would want him to rap in my face. If Eminem sat with me at Waffle House, I would just mostly want to just hang out and talk with Eminem. But he started rapping, I'd be like, "Okay, all right, I get it, you're trying out a song on me, okay." And I know that feeling as a comedian, because I have tried out bits on people who didn't want it to happen. And that's an early mistake, which I then have ceased to do. If I am ever telling someone a bit, I go, "Oh, I have a bit. It's about this." And then I don't perform it, and it bombs, and they hate me, and I lose a friend. They delete my phone number and block me, which is what you need to do to Mike Coscarelli. But Gilly just raps directly in our face. And when he finishes, we're like, "Hey, would it be cool if I played some of my stand-up for you?" And I just sat there with my iPhone and the speaker on my iPhone, just like rocking out to my set from that night in Baltimore. So yeah, we house through our food. We eat it really fast. And Gilly reveals to us that he's got a kid on the way and that he's only 21. He's only 21. Also, what was hilarious is we asked him how old he was. He goes, 21. He's like, how old are you guys? We go, guess how old we are. And what's hilarious is he guessed my friend Christian was 40, which Christian's like 32. So funny. I love it when people completely overestimate how old other people are and make them feel like they look ugly. It's such a funny bit. If anyone ever asks you to guess their age, just go way over. There's no reason to give an accurate guess because you're probably – if you get it right, nobody's impressed. Nobody's impressed if you go, how old are you? And they go – or guess how old I am. And you go, oh, 27. They're like, wow, I am 27. You're right. No points for that. You don't really – nobody cares. So what you got to do is you got to be like 39. And then stick the landing so they think you mean it. Make them think you mean it. He then told me I looked 30, which, you know, I do. And then Jamie's a young boy, barely out of puberty. So he looks it. He is 21. So, but Gilly, also 21, crazy because he does not look 21, reveals he's got a kid on the way. We're like, whoa, your life is not good. This is going to be a rough one, huh? Just got out of jail, got a kid on the way. Yikes. Yikes. You go, how's the mom? And he goes, oh, some Mexican chick. Her family doesn't let me see her. And we're like, oh, that's really sad. He goes, nah, I'm kind of over. I'm done. I'm going to go to the gas station across the street and bang the gas attendant. And we're like, yeah. He goes, yeah, I'm going to bang her in the bathroom. What a romantic spot. What a beautiful spot to go hook up with somebody. That's how good sex is. You'll just do it anywhere. You'll do it anywhere. You won't care. You shouldn't have sex in a gas station bathroom. What a gross. Is there a more disgusting place than a gas station bathroom? Name a filthier, more disgusting place. And imagine if that's the place that you have, that you conceive a child. They're like, hey kid, you were made in a BP parking lot. I mean, she's got to be a real classy girl. I mean, who cares? I won't even judge class. Who cares about class? But yeah, we're like, yeah, you're gonna go bang her in the bathroom of the gas station. He's like, yeah, it's gonna be awesome. We're like, yeah, I bet it's gonna be awesome. Hey, can you do me a favor? Can you put a condom on? He's like, nah, man, I don't want to put on a condom. We're like, Gilly, yeah, one kid on the way. Will you put on a condom? He's like, nah, I don't want a condom. It's not as good. You're like, you got a kid on the way. Can you promise me this? If you're not gonna put a condom on, just do butt stuff, Gilly. Butt stuff only. And he starts laughing hysterically at the idea of him doing butt stuff in this gas station bathroom. And we're like, that's the only form of birth control that works. That's the only form. That's the only one that really, truly is 100% effective. That's why in Catholic schools, they don't need to preach abstinence. They need to preach butt stuff. That's what they need to preach. They need to be like, you guys don't have a kid? Butt stuff. Never failed. Butt stuff has never, ever failed. I grew up Catholic, and I don't know if anyone else knows this about, like, Catholicism, but you're not supposed to have sex until you're married, and you're also not allowed to do contraception in any form. You have to raw dog it 100% of the time. And their recommendation for how to avoid having a child is for you to practice the rhythm method. What is the rhythm method? That is when you figure out when your wife's period is and you have sex during particular times of the month. Because women are more fertile and less fertile depending on when their period is. I don't personally know how it works. I have no idea how the rhythm method works. I don't know when they're most fertile and least fertile. I do know that that means that probably the only time you can be sure they won't get pregnant is if you have sex when she's on her period, which I'm all for, but also what a weird thing to advocate as the right time for you to have sex with your partner. Also, who wants to wait 2 weeks for your wife to be not fertile to be in her less fertile time to be like, no, we can't have sex right now, honey. We got to wait another 2 weeks because that's when we can do it during the month. I mean, talk about removing all of the love and passion out of sex. What a horrible idea. And I don't even, does it even work? Is this thing, the rhythm method, is this real? Is this true? There's no way it works. And besides, I'm a white Irish Catholic guy. I have no rhythm. You think I'm going to rely on my rhythm to keep me from having a kid? I have none. I genetically have no rhythm. I don't even, if every time there's like a wedding or some sort of occasion like that, I get anxiety because I know I'm going to have to dance. And I don't drink. I'm sober. So I'm like, all right, let's hope everyone doesn't judge me too harshly. You know what I hate? You ever go to a wedding that's like, you ever go to a wedding that has a lot of, let's just say, people of color at it? And you're like, motherfuck, I am going to look so embarrassingly bad on this dance floor. And then you ever go to a wedding that has like tons of like all white people and you're like, this is the way it should be. No, I don't mean that joke. I don't mean that at all. Oh, man. I just get like alt-righty and loopy the more tired I get, and I'm feeling a little tired right now. No, but you ever go to like a white person wedding and you're like, you kind of just look around the dance floor and you're like, this is horrible. Nobody knows what they're doing. I think Brett had this observation, but he was like, the best part of like a white wedding is when a dance circle forms and everyone's too scared to go into the middle. What a great observation. And Brett guy, you know, if he had a podcast, you should listen to that. You should definitely listen to that. That'd be really good, wouldn't it? But back to Gilly Bean. Oh, we also make fun of, he then also tells us, after he tells us he's got a kid, he tells us that his brother is 24 and has 3 kids. And we're like, Jesus, dudes, your family cannot stand pulling out, huh? Just the Gilly Beans, only cream pie all day. All day cream pieing by the Gilly Beans. God, I can't believe dude's 21, just got out of prison, has a kid. And he also then taught us the rules of dice. I live in the hood, so my neighbors are always shooting dice, and I was always like, that game looks incredibly boring. But he told us the rules. I guess you gotta roll a 7, you roll like a 6 or something, and then after that you gotta get a 7 or 11, but then otherwise you're just like throwing dice a bunch. I don't know. I guess I didn't really pay that much attention to the rules of dice. And he claimed he's really good at dice. It's almost like this guy doesn't comprehend the fact that dice are actually random and there's no skill to it. It's just throwing and praying. That's all it is. He also told us that he has like a bunch of friends in Philly, and he kind of hinted that maybe he should like take a ride with us. And that's when I was like, this friendship ends here. I was not rude, but I was like, yo, I don't know, man, it's kind of late. We're staying at friends. We can't really give you a ride. I think Christian and Jamie were worried that I was going to say, yes, dude, hop in. And then we just have to do another 2 hours of probably, I'd imagine if we're in the car, Gilly Bean's going to run the aux cable and he's going to play his full mixtape for us. The whole time, it's just Gilly Bean's mixtape into our faces. Oh, and then right before he leaves, we pay our check, and he goes, wait, yo, check this out. And he's like, I'm going to play you my SoundCloud. And we're like, I don't know, man, we got to get going. He goes, nah, dude, you got 2 or 3 minutes. Yeah, hit us with it. And we had to listen to more rapping. This time, at least, it was pre-recorded. I do not remember any of the song or any of the music. I just remember being like, when is this over? I would like to drive to the place I'm staying so I can go to bed. Then we left the Waffle House. And hopefully I run into Gilly Bean sometime soon in the future. But yeah, overall, it was a fun weekend. It was a super fun weekend. Good shows. Jamie, who the 21-year-old NYU senior, very, very nice kid, very funny, very talented, but what was really funny was we drove, you know, we drive so much. You drive to Baltimore, that's like 5 hours of driving with traffic, and then you drive from there to Philly, that's like 2 or 3 hours, and then you drive home, it's like 2 hours from Philly to New York. And it wasn't until we were 20 minutes, and we hung out like all weekend, and it wasn't until 20 minutes before we get out of the car that Jamie reveals to us that he used to be addicted to Oxycontin and was an alcoholic. And now he's thankfully sober. But we're like, dude, you waited until the last moment to reveal this about yourself? We've been talking and hanging for 2 days straight right now. And now this is when you tell us this information? What? How do you just keep that in the pocket the whole time? How do you not share that with someone right away? That's so crazy to me. Because I guess I'm slightly an oversharer, but I guess it's because I hold some things precious to the heart, but a lot of things I clearly don't hold precious to the heart. Like, I'll just sit there and reveal like horrible things about myself very quickly to people. Because I don't care. But how do you keep that sort of thing to yourself for that long? Dude. Sorry, this might be a little stilted. Nick Whitmer, Fat Wit, Big Rig, previous member or previous guest on the podcast, just knocked on my door and bothered me for a second. So sorry if this is stilted, but whatever. That's the end of Gilly Bean. I'm sure you guys are like, move on. Let's talk about something else. You're boring me to tears. I have a gun in my mouth right now. I'm going to pull the trigger. Boom, boom, boom. You know what TV show I don't really watch a ton of passive TV, and that's what I describe this as, the show Naked and Afraid. That's kind of in that passive TV genre where it's never a show you're seeking out, but if it's on, you'll be like, all right, you have my attention. Naked and Afraid is like a survivorist show where they drop off a man and a woman. They'll drop them off in a legitimately remote location. And they will have to survive for like 28 days or something. And they do not help them at all. The one funny thing is they don't give these people shoes. We have no idea how important shoes are to our day to day until you see someone try to walk around without them. I think shoes are the reasons humans are better than every animal out there. It's because we have shoes on. And these other animals, they can't do anything because their feet are in such pain as they walk around. Shoes changed everything for us. If you watch Naked and Afraid, no, they can't do anything because their feet hurt so bad from no shoes. So they're barefoot and they're in a remote location. And so they never put them in a freezing location. They take away all of their clothes. It's Naked and Afraid. I think, yeah, they're butt naked. And you'd think, oh, they're naked, a man and a woman. Maybe they'll fuck. They don't. They never do because they're both disgusting. Without showers, humans are disgusting. They smell bad and they're unsexy. Showers and shoes are the key to humanity. Also, the reason they never hook up is because they have no food. They have to go find, scavenge, or hunt their own food. They have nothing to eat. They literally don't give them anything. They don't give them anything. I think they let them have, like, one item they can bring. It'd be so funny if for your one item, you just brought, like, Scrabble. It wasn't even a survival item. It was just like, yeah, I just thought if we had Scrabble, we could just pass the time a little bit. Your partner brought, like, a hatchet. And she's like, are you fucking kidding me? You brought Scrabble? What am I going to do with Scrabble? How is that going to keep us alive? Well, it's going to be entertaining. So yeah, if they give you one item, that's it, you're naked. It's really a funny show. It kind of a good commentary on gender dynamics a little bit. Generally speaking, it kind of is a good comment on gender dynamics because you watch the show and, like I said, it's a man and a woman. They're both paired up. And the man is always so confident in his abilities. The man on the show is always like, I've been a survivalist for the past 20 years. I was raised by wolves. I'm not a lone wolf like Jordan, but I was raised in a pack of wolves.
and I can do anything. I can survive in any environment. You drop me anywhere, and I will make it. That's always how the guy is wired. And the woman is always like, I don't know, I just really got into mountain climbing like 5 years ago, and then I started camping, and I was out, just got, became super outdoorsy, and I'm really interested in the environment, and I think it's good to just enjoy nature. That's what the woman is always like. And then they pair him up, and immediately the guy starts kind of bossing the woman around. And the woman will be like, I think that we could, should maybe, it'd be a good idea if we built the shelter like this. And the guy's like, no, we're not fucking building the shelter like that. We're building it like this. And then they spend like 2 days building themselves a shelter to protect themselves from the weather. And it collapses. And then the guy goes, all right, maybe that one didn't work, but I got an idea for how we should build it. We should build it like that. And then he suggests they build it the way the woman originally said they should build it, but then he just glosses over the fact that that's what the woman recommended initially. He acts like he came up with it. He's like, yeah, no, I mean, if I had to think about it, it was actually my idea that helped us survive and build this thing. He always thinks it's his idea. He always takes credit for the idea. And, you know, and the man is always so confident on the show, and he spends all of his time hunting but not getting anything. And the woman is always like scrounging up, finding like berries and roots and things you can actually eat that would sustain you. But then the guy's just out being like, I'm going to kill a bison. You're like, yo, dude, you're in the jungle. There are no bisons here. You're not. And what are you going to kill it with? Your hands? What are you going to jump on its back, put it in a sleeper hold so it naps and you can kill it? It's not going to happen, man. It's not going to happen. But the guy then tries hunting, gets so exhausted that he then is incapacitated for the next 24 days, and the woman takes care of him. It is hilarious. Every episode works that way. Guy super confident, nature beats the shit out of him, woman takes care of him. Every episode. I also think, so I don't think that that's totally how male and female gender dynamics work 100% of the time, and of course, everyone's an individual. We got to do that. We got to do all these, like, nowadays we have to do all these disclaimers whenever you have, like, you take any stance on anything. But I do think the type of person that show selects for is probably going to be a dude who thinks a lot of himself, who thinks he's a man, he's arrogant, he's confident, and he's the kind of person who would talk over anyone. You know, he's the kind of guy who wouldn't want to listen to other people. Like, he would have his own podcast. I am a good listener. I am a good listener. I just want that to be known that I am a good listener. I just got tired of listening to people, okay? That's what I did. I got tired of listening to people, but I am a good listener. If you ever actually meet me in real life, you'll find I'm an okay listener. But yeah, Naked and Afraid, it is a fun show for like 4 episodes. Then you're like, I get what this is about. I don't need any more of this. I don't need any more of this in my life. There's a reason that I don't wait until Thursday nights to watch Naked and Afraid at 8 p.m. on TLC or whatever trash-ass channel that should be out of business that it is on. Bet this show gets so many viewers. That's such an interesting... It's so interesting how, like, many people watch shows like that and then how few watch, like, any comedy. You're like, why do I do this? Because nobody gives a fuck. Nobody cares. Nobody cares about comedy, but they're just happy to watch Real Housewives. Happy to watch trash. I mean, Andy Cohen is a genius for getting people to watch B-roll of homes that are richer and nicer than they will ever have. That show should let us know that we, the 99%, can and should storm the houses of the rich and take their belongings by force. How are we not doing that? Why are we just taking this, lying down? Those people are dumb. They're dumb, they're not talented, and they're soft. But he's a genius. He just puts that trash on TV. We watch people, it's a show where you watch people fight who you don't know. Yo, if I told you the fights that these people get in verbally and acted like those were my friends, you would go, one, why are you friends with them? And two, you'd go, I don't give a fuck. I don't give a fuck. I can't care less about hearing about Teresa and Jennifer's fight. I don't know them. They're not in my life. Like, if you ever had someone tell you a fight that they, like a fight going on at their workplace, and depending on your relationship with them, if you like, if it's like your girlfriend, you humor the shit out of it and you're like, oh no, they're terrible. But then in reality, you're like, I don't care. I do not care at all. Can we talk about literally anything else? I don't know these people. I don't work with you. And I think it's all petty. They should just not talk. That is Real Housewives right there. That's Real Housewives in a nutshell. I don't even get that. I mean, I don't get that mad at the... I mean, put it on. If people enjoy it, who cares? I don't care if people enjoy entertainment. It's interesting to me that these people are like celebrities with no talent. And then I fancy myself a person who has some modicum of talent. And yet, for some reason, I could spend hundreds of hours editing a sketch. And then, you know, it just goes out into the ether. And maybe it gets like 3,000 views. But it's all sound and fury signifying nothing, right? That's a little darker than I expected things to get right there. That was way darker than I thought it would get. But yeah, that happened. That was like a real peek into like the real, into my real psyche. None of this like BS anxiety now. Yo, how bad was that intro music we had before? I hated that intro music. After like week one, I was like, this is cool. By week like 4 and 5, I was like, I hate the sirens. I don't like these quotes that are dated. They're from the election. It's got Hillary Clinton in there. She's gone. She's not running. She's not president. She's not going to run for president. Fingers crossed. I mean, Trump is president, but even those quotes are so dated. It's like, come on. So I don't even know if I want intro music. Do you guys even give a shit? Does it like amp you up for the show that there's intro music? I guess there should be it because it sounds, quote, more professional. But like, who cares? Like, why do shows even have intros? Like, when you watch Home Improvement, you know what the show is. I don't need the like 27 times. I don't need that. I don't need that. I'm here. I see it. It's Tim Allen. Boom. I got it. Why are there always, they're so annoying. Here's all you do. Whenever the title screen, the intro song starts for a TV show, you try to pee and you try to force the pee out before the dumb intro song ends. That's how you know you don't need the thing and it shouldn't be there. Because you're trying to pee or make your popcorn or something before it ends. Let's talk about something else. I love when people like post insane things on Facebook. I mean, thank God. Thank God for Facebook, because how else would I know people are crazy and irrational? It gives you a window into the thoughts of many you never thought you'd want the thoughts of, but now you get to enjoy and be like, oh, you are dumb. There's a post from someone I knew in Kansas City. This is very funny. I have an odd request. One of my friends had a ride fall through and is looking to borrow a car to drive from Kansas City to Los Angeles and back for a music gig mid-June. Their group would pay around $200 for anyone willing to loan car. DM me if this is up your alley. Well, I assure you, this is not up my alley. What an over-ask to post. On there. Why would you even post the dollar amount? Don't post the dollar amount. Don't post it. Be like, they would love, and they're willing to pay some money. Just leave it that. Even couch it in, they're a poor music group and they've got a gig they need to get to. Why is there a gig all the way, one show? You're driving to LA for one show. Did you sell out a stadium? Is there the 5,000 seat theater? No. Why are you driving 26 hours for one show? Put that energy into 40 smaller shows within reasonable distances. Crazy to me. that someone would drive that far for one show. And that's $200. $200 to drive a car cross country. Yo, that is going to destroy that person's car. That is so many miles. How many miles is it from Kansas City to LA? Let's look that up. Is it from Kansas City to LA? Let's see. It is 23 hours and 38 minutes, 1,617.9 miles, $200 for me to undertake that risk, let you drive my car from Kansas City to LA. What an insane over-ask that someone could post that. I appreciate that she's doing it for her friend. And it wasn't for herself. It was for her friend. That's very kind. Wait a minute. Why don't you let them use your car? Huh? Why don't you volunteer your car pro bono? Be a real friend. Being a friend is doing the act, not just sharing that they want to use the thing on Facebook. That's not that. It's kind of helpful, but is it? Is it really helpful? You know what would be really helpful? Let them use your car. Drive your car that far. Drive your car. How many miles is it? 1,617.9 miles to LA and back. Put 3,200 miles on your car. Okay? Be a real friend. Posting that type of shit on Facebook is not helpful. You know what else I hate? Is all the donations on Facebook. Hey, first off, fuck Facebook. I hate that thing. That thing is garbage. It is the second that there is a way better alternative, everyone's taking that alternative. Facebook sucks. It sucks. All it does is make you feel bad about yourself. Makes you feel worthless, useless. You throw up a thing, doesn't get likes, does get likes. Now you're weighing your own self-esteem on some external validation. Remember, this is coming from a stand-up comedian who's constantly looking for external validation all of the time. But what an unhealthy thing. I can't believe I'm trying to be a public figure. I understand why I would have social media. Why do regular people have social media? You're an accountant at PricewaterhouseCoopers. Who is this for? Why do you post anything? It's all that social media does for you, if you're a regular person, is provide the opportunity for you to do a thing that gets you fired. That's all social media is for you. If I weren't trying and succeeding, I will say succeeding. I pay bills off of comedy. And hey, I would love to pay more bills. Maybe I should do, what is it called? Patreon? That's how you say it. Patreon? Maybe I'll get a Patreon after like 10 episodes. I also think I'm going to throw some video. If you guys want video, let me know. Message me, get in those DMs, and be like, hey, Jordan, we'd like to see some video of you. Maybe you'll do it with your shirt off. What was I even fucking talking about? Oh, regular people having social media. What are you doing? Don't. You're a doctor. Don't have social media. Social media? More like anti-social media. That joke was so bad, I couldn't even get it out. It was deliberately so bad that my gut was like, I'm going to make you stutter on this. Last thing to talk about. I watched the show, the documentary Wild Wild Country. Watch it. Don't watch it. Don't you just hate how everyone's always recommending TV shows and movies and books to you? And you're like, I would like to hug my family. Thank you. I would like to see my loved ones every once in a while. I don't have enough time for this much media. That said, hey, everyone, do me a favor. Tell your friends they should listen to this podcast. Please. Please. I would love to be able to continue doing it. Love to grow the audience. And I would love to get some feedback about what you think about it, all right? Let me know what you think about it, and I will respond to you. Even if you think it sucks, be like, hey, Jordan, you fucking suck. I'd be like, thank you for the feedback. I appreciate it. What could I do better? But watch documentary Wild Wild Country. It's a documentary about like a cult. And what's so funny, I don't want to spoil anything about the show at all. I'm just going to talk about cults in like a broader sense. But one thing I've noticed about a lot of cults, and I watch cult documentaries all the time, is that every one of these cults has a sex positive, sex free society. They always create a world where like you just have sex with everyone in it. It's like, I'm not impressed. I'm not impressed if you're able to build a cult around being hot and fucking. If that's what your cult is, no wonder people are joining it. I'll listen to some weird guy from India for 2 hours if there's an orgy at the conclusion of the speech. I'll sit through anything. That's why I'm impressed by the Catholic Church. It's miserable. It's a bad time. The Catholic Church mass is terrible. It's boring. The priests, barely human. Some pedophiles. And yet somehow they've gotten us to believe and go to mass. And the only thing that is that we go for is the donut at the end of mass. The only reason anyone goes to mass is for the donut after mass. And there's no orgies. They even preach abstinence. Catholicism preaches abstinence. That's how you know that is a good cult. If it can get you to believe without any sex, tell you you can't have any sex, and you can believe that stuff, that is a good cult. All these other cults that are like free love, you can fuck anybody, you can bang someone in a gas station bathroom, that type of cult, I mean, of course people join it. Of course. You're going to throw some booty in there? People are going to join. And the cults always have like 21-year-olds to like 35-year-olds with like rocking bodies, and no one's really working that hard. They're kind of just all collaborating. I'm sort of describing a perfect society right now, aren't I? But they're all sort of like working together in the same house and building strong interpersonal relationships. Everyone, of course, people would join that. People would join anything if you're going to have hot. Dudes will join anything if there's hot women there. Guys go to concerts they do not care about because there's hot women there. What's the quote? Most men live the life of quiet desperation. Men live the life of... Let's see here. That's what everyone wants me to Google stuff during the podcast. Most men lead lives of quiet desperation and die with their song still inside them. Wow. I didn't think that was going to be that sad. I thought it was the beginning of that. But that is how men live their lives. Of just quiet desperation. Just praying to God. Not praying to God, but trying to just not be alone. I think that's truly what men... Maybe it's because I'm like 30 now. Maybe it's because I've gotten older and that's how you feel. Because you've been through... like enough relationships to start being like, all right, am I the problem in all of these? I think I may be. I may be the problem. But then I'll see like, nah, but they were also a problem and they are miserable. But yeah, most men lead lives of quiet desperation and die with their song still inside them. Man. That is sad. That most men just keep who they really want to be inside of them, and they don't let it out. They don't do the things they really want to do. They kind of don't. I see it with my friends who are married too. I mean, they're willing to sacrifice their personal happiness so heavily to do things for their wife. And girlfriend. That goes for girlfriends too. But I really hope that... Yeah, I noticed that with a lot of the relationships I've been in. It's like the level of... I always feel like my level of self-sacrifice is so much greater than hers. Like so often girls are like, I gave you a BJ. I didn't make you. Also, isn't that what we do? You're my significant other. That's what you do for each other is... that. So why is that? That's not doing me a favor. And I kind of don't appreciate you acting like that's a favor. Because it's not. I go down on you and I don't ask. Or I don't make you feel bad after I do it. I do it because I care about you and I want you to have a good time. But like guys are like, you know, I helped a girl move out of an apartment three different times. I helped her move from her parents' place to a new apartment in Williamsburg. And by help, I mean I did most of it. Even the organizing, I helped with that. I was helping with, she got moving guys, but I also carried stuff so it would get done faster and save some money and time. Helped her unpack, put things where she wanted them, got yelled at for not putting them exactly where she wanted them at the time, even though I was just doing my best and I tried listening, but then she'd tell you to put it in a place and then get mad at you because you didn't put it in the exact place. And you're kind of like, all right, how about you just do it? But you stifle that because that's just going to be a fight. So you just take the beating on the chin. Then moved from that room to another room when someone else moved out because she wanted a new room. And then moved her back to her parents after that. And that's just like one example. I try to think, like, when did a woman do that for me? I would love to hear of it. I want to hear about some times when, like, where a girlfriend went above and beyond the call, like that kind of devotion or that kind of sacrifice. I think that is how men show love for women. And it's all to avoid that quiet desperation of being alone. Because if you're a man, if for you to have any impact in the world, you have to go get it. For you to have anyone, you have to go make, I really believe this, you have to go out and make someone fall in love with you or make a thing happen. Like, women, you can walk out, and I know it has its own issues. You get catcalled, you get accosted, you get barraged by dicks and DMs, ask you to come over and suck dicks and stuff. Hey, that's horrible. That's not cool either. But look at one possible benefit of that is that you can select which one of those sort of, those attempts you can select which one you like and dislike, and you can choose accordingly. You'd be like, oh, I have options. But if you're a guy, you kind of have to be like, I have to go ask you out. I have to make the kiss. I have to say this to you. You have to make it happen. God damn, man. You really, really, when you podcast alone in a stream of consciousness like this, you start out talking about wild, wild country, and then you're in a point where you're reading some Henry David Thoreau quote, most men lead lives of quiet desperation, and you're like supposed to be doing a comedy podcast, but you're really just expressing the sadness and loneliness that it is to be a man in the world right now, and really all you want is a hug. That's it. That's all men want. We just want hugs. We just want love. We just want someone to love, and to love someone. That's really all. That's truly what I believe men want. That's what they want. All that other stuff we do is just noise in the hopeful pursuit of those two things. And then we fuck it all up. Because you'll see a dude, he'll get the love. And he'll be giving love. But then he'll do something dumb like cheat on the girl or just not appreciate her at all. So then he gets what he deserves. But if he had just stayed the course, he would stop leading a life of quiet desperation, and the song wouldn't die inside of him, and it would be out. Yeah. Good God. Good God. Guys, I don't know. I've done almost an hour. Who knows what was said during this? Who knows what happened? But we witnessed it. We did it together. We made it all the way to minute 54 of a solo podcast with no host or no co-host. Hey, sometimes it might feel like there's no host. Sometimes it might feel like there's no host and there's just a guy yelling into a microphone. That's, you know what? That's all I'll say everything is. Everything in the world, it's just a guy. Everything. You watch a movie, it's got Tom Cruise, he's just a guy. The priest, just a guy. Roger Federer, just a guy. No one in their heart is different than you, okay? That's my uplifting message for the end of this. I am spent. I'm ready to go live my life. I'm done recording thoughts. Guys, seriously, thank you so much for listening. It means a lot to me if you tune in. I'm going to do some annoying PSA shit. Go check out my Rabled Brothers sketches. I work so hard on those. Brett works so hard on them. We write them. We act in them. We edit them. We produce them front to back. We have help from a few friends. But we have no budget. Those things are made with a camera that we purchased and everything. We have made all of those with only through our blood, sweat, and tears. And go watch it, please. It would mean so much to me. And leave a review of the podcast. Tweet at me what you think. I don't even know what I said, so let me know what I said that was wrong. I truly mean it. I appreciate feedback. I really do. Where did I say that was crazy you disagree with? I'd love to start a dialogue on that front. Anyway, I'm peacing out. I'm going to go live my life. I'm going to go enjoy this summer. Thank you so much for listening. I love you. Lone Wolf out.